In a third-class carriage further along the train, Gregory Banks said to his wife, "That aunt of yours must be completely bats." "Aunt Cora?" Susan was vague. "Oh, yes, I believe she was always a bit simple or something." George Crossfield, sitting opposite, said sharply, "She really ought to be stopped from going about saying things like that. It might put ideas into people's heads." Rosamond Shane, intent on outlining the cupid's bow of her mouth with lipstick, murmured vaguely, "I don't suppose anyone would pay any attention to what a frump like that says. The most peculiar clothes, and lashings of jet—" "Well, I think it ought to be stopped," said George. "All right, darling," laughed Rosamond, putting away her lipstick and contemplating her image with satisfaction in the mirror. "You stop it." Her husband said unexpectedly, "I think George is right. It's so easy to set people talking." "Well, would it matter?" Rosamond contemplated the question, the cupid's bow lifted at the corners in a smile. "It might really be rather fun." "Fun?" four voices spoke. "Having a murder in the family," said Rosamond. "Thrilling, you know." It occurred to that nervous and unhappy young man, Gregory Banks, that Susan's cousin, setting aside her attractive exterior, might have some faint points of resemblance to her Aunt Cora. Her next words rather confirmed his impression. "If he was murdered," said Rosamond, "who do you think did it?" Her gaze travelled thoughtfully round the carriage. "His death has been awfully convenient for all of us," she said thoughtfully. "Michael and I are absolutely on our beam ends. Mix had a really good part offered him in the Sanborn show if he can afford to wait for it. Now we'll be in Clover. We'll be able to back our own show if we want to. As a matter of fact, there's a play with a simply wonderful part." Nobody listened to Rosamond's ecstatic disquisition. Their attention had shifted to their own immediate future. "Touch and go," thought George to himself. "Now I can put money back, and nobody will ever know. But it's been a near shave." Gregory closed his eyes as he lay back against the seat. Escape from bondage. Susan said in her clear, rather hard voice, "I'm very sorry, of course, for poor old Uncle Richard, but then he was very old, and Mortimer had died, and he'd nothing to live for, and it would have been awful for him to go on as an invalid year after year. Much better for him to pop off suddenly like this with no fuss." Her hard, confident young eyes softened as they watched her husband's absorbed face. She adored Greg. She sensed vaguely that Greg cared for her less than she cared for him, but that only strengthened her passion. Greg was hers. She'd do anything for him. Anything at all. Maud Abernethy, changing her dress for dinner at Enderby, for she was staying the night, wondered if she ought to have offered to stay longer to help Helen out with the sorting and clearing of the house. There would be all Richard's personal things. There might be letters. All important papers, she supposed, had already been taken possession of by Mr. Entwistle, and it really was necessary for her to get back to Timothy as soon as possible. He fretted so when she was not there to look after him. She hoped he would be pleased about the will and not annoyed. He had expected, she knew, that most of Richard's fortune would come to him. After all, he was the only surviving Abernethy. Richard could surely have trusted him to look after the younger generation. Yes, she was afraid Timothy would be annoyed, and that was so bad for his digestion. And really, when he was annoyed, Timothy could become quite unreasonable. There were times when he seemed to lose his sense of proportion. She wondered if she ought to speak to Dr. Barton about it. Those sleeping pills. Timothy had been taking far too many of them lately. He got so angry when she wanted to keep the bottle for him. But they could be dangerous. Dr. Barton had said so. You could get drowsy and forget you'd taken them, and then take more, and then anything might happen. There certainly weren't as many left in the bottle as there ought to be. Timothy was really very naughty about medicines. He wouldn't listen to her. He was very difficult sometimes. She sighed, then brightened. Things were going to be much easier now. The garden, for instance.